Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kip Balcom, and I'm at the Soil Dynamics Lab with ARS in Auburn, Alabama. Just in case you're not familiar, let's see, Auburn is approximately in this location right here. We're basically sort of in the center of all the ultisols that were mentioned previously. You know, these soils are characterized by very coarse textures, poor structures, and very low organic matter contents. As a result, these soils are very high, prone to erosion. You can see the field, the picture on the left here. This is following cotton harvest. And you can see, first of all, that cotton doesn't leave a lot of residue on the soil surface to start with. So then when you combine that with the intensive rainfalls that we typically get during the winter months, it certainly creates a condition very conducive to erosion. On the right, you can see that even though that's in an established cornfield, these soils are such that when conditions get right, we can still have pretty severe erosion problems. So how do we combat these negative effects associated with some of the characteristics of the ultisols? And for us, that's just utilizing the conservation system. We try to, obviously it's a two-component system when we're talking about the conservation tillage aspect, which is the non-inversion tillage that you heard about before. And you can see we're trying to maximize that residue on the soil surface. We want to, when we use a non-inversion type system, we're going to maximize the below ground disruption and minimize the surface soil disturbance. But we're dealing with some of these crops, like I mentioned, cotton, that don't produce a lot of residue. So we need to supplement our residue component, and we do that through cover crops. As the previous speaker mentioned, we're talking about high residue cover crops. You can see the gentleman standing in the back there. You know, we're wanting at least 6 feet or more of biomass that's what we're considering a high residue system. The reason we have to do that is because, you know, we're in a condition where we have high temperature, high rainfall, high humidity. All these characteristics are conducive to decomposition very quickly, so we want that residue to hang around and stay around as long as possible. In addition, you get the other benefits, soil moisture benefits, and also weed suppression that comes along with that as well. Now, these effects are going to show up primarily in the surface soil, basically in the top couple of inches there. We're, and our soils are, like I said, we're low organic matter content soils, typically less than 1% organic matter. In a lot of cases, it can be down to less than 0.5%. So, you know, if we are in that scenario, but we can increase our double our organic matter content, it makes a huge difference for us on the productivity of these soils. This is a slide that I borrowed from Dr. Charlie Mitchell. This is from the old rotation. It's the oldest continuous cotton experiment in the world. Basically shows a relationship between relative yield and soil organic matter. What he has plotted here are the yields from different crop rotations and their associated organic matter contents compared to a standard treatment. And you can see that basically as the organic matter increases up to around 2-2.5%, our yield potential is basically stabilized there, maximized. And as I mentioned, a lot of our soils are down on this region, in the 0.5% to 1% region. So you can see there's a lot of potential there for increasing our yield potential by utilizing cover crops. So, you know, we want to produce all this high biomass, so how do we do that? And, you know, obvious way, I mean, we're dealing with these soils that are very infertile soils. So the obvious way is to put on nitrogen. Now, obviously, this is a high amount just to kind of show, give you an idea of what kind of differences we can observe there. But in general, if you ask the farmer to apply fertilizer to a cover crop, that's kind of a tough sell because it's, they're used to applying the fertilizer and then harvesting that crop for yield or getting some kind of monetary return. Excuse me. Getting some kind of monetary return for that. So it's difficult for them to just go out and put fertilizer on a cover crop and then, just leave that to reap the benefits from it. Another aspect is just kind of looking at nutrient requirements for biofuel. I mean, obviously the ideal case would be some type of perennial with low fertility requirements. But, you know, in our case, because we do have the rainfall and climate such that we can produce these over the winter, and we might could fertilize these and produce some biomass. We're still up in the air, though, is what's going to be that break point, I guess, where it's not economical to put on fertilizer. So with that in mind, we want to try to look at some alternative end sources as opposed to commercial fertilizer. And one is peanut residue. I don't know how familiar you are with the peanuts, but of course they're a legume. There's previous documentation out there that says you can reduce cash crop end rates by, 30 pounds or so if you're utilizing if you're following a good peanut crop. So we wanted to take a look at that. And I don't know if y'all can see that or not. Oh, I'm supposed to use this thing. If you can see that or not, but you can see where those windrows are. It's a little bit darker green right there. So that was kind of the premise of why we wanted to take a look at peanut residue. Another source would be poultry litter, which we've got plenty of in the state of Alabama. You can see, we're third behind Arkansas and Georgia. We produce about 1 billion broilers per year. And you can see this industry just dwarfs all the other industries in the state. So as far as getting the poultry litter, it's typically not a problem. So just simply for our objective, we want to take a look at the estimated end contributed by the peanut residue to a rye cover crop in a conservation tillage system, and then also compare end sources, rates, and times of application for a rye cover crop in a conservation tillage system. All this to maximize the biomass. Both these studies were conducted at the Wiregrass Research and Extension Center. It's in the southeast portion of Alabama near Headland. The peanut residue study was initiated in 2003, ran for 3 years, and then we started the poultry litter commercial fertilizer study in 2006. Let's see. The peanut residue was just simply a split plot design where we had main plots of residue removed and retained, and then we put out four different end rates on top of those, 0, 34, 67, 101 kilograms per hectare. Just a little background, we did take some of that residue and perform a laboratory incubation to just see what the potential of that material was. And, we compared our control, and our pre-harvest was just the fresh vines before the peanuts had actually been harvested. And then the post-harvest was the residue that you saw in the pictures previously. You can see we did see some biological activities. CO2 was produced, but there was no N mineralized from these residues on two different soil types. If you take a look at the CDN ratios of those materials, you can see that, if you see that, you wouldn't expect a lot of N to be mineralized. However, we want to go ahead and do the field study because, it could be some aspect associated with roots or something like that. So we wanted to try to verify that. Unfortunately, it kind of confirmed what we had suspected already. We didn't see any effect on the cover crop biomass for whether we removed or retained that residue in the field. There is some variability between the years. That does seem true of cover crops. You seem to have some years better than others as far as what you produce, but there was no difference in the peanut residue. This just shows the end rates. This line here is basically our high residue line. It's around 4,500 kilograms per hectare. That's what we would consider a high residue crop. You can see our N rates, with 34 kilograms of N to the acre or 30 pounds to the acre, we were above that line. So that's kind of where our recommendation comes from, basing it on applying around 30 pounds. You can see the variability between the years, and even the last year, you can see we're getting up around 12,000 kilograms per hectare. Of course, put out 101 kilograms of N to the hectare too, but and also this is a more of a linear line, so we actually probably could have applied a little bit more nitrogen and got more biomass, but still, like I say, we don't know where that break point is right now. On the poultry litter study, it was a split plot design, looked at timing, fall versus spring, source, commercial end versus poultry litter, and then the same rates that I mentioned a while ago. Now, as far as the available end from the poultry litter, we base this on 50% total N available during the first year of application. You can see these are the commercial N rates. So we were kind of above those commercial N rates, but at least, we were using rates that what the growers were utilizing. So that's why we chose those rates. We didn't see any difference in source except for the last year, and that was with the commercial fertilizer produced a little bit better than the poultry litter. This could be related to, we had a little bit warmer winter during that period of time. And you have to remember the poultry litter was surface applied, so it could have had some ammonia volatilization, which affected that. Again, on the average biomass, didn't have any kind of source by rate interaction, but I just wanted to show the rates there. Still right around our 30 pounds seemed to be pretty close for our high residue portion. We had 2 years, though, where still we had very linear responses. So, you know, typically we could have put on a little bit more than that, although we didn't produce as much at this particular location. The other interesting interaction was between the timing and rate. This was not significant, but I did want to show this. A fall application seemed to benefit or be more beneficial than a spring application as far as producing biomass. And if you look back at some of the old small grain production guides, they'll recommend not to put on nitrogen until the spring because of producing too much vegetative growth, which in this case, obviously, that's what we're looking for. We saw this again in 2007, the timing by rate interaction favoring the fall again. Then, of course, 2008, as usual, fell apart. But we did feel like that was important enough to mention that. The other thing we're looking at, because we're dealing with a soil carbon accumulation, because we're dealing with an organic source, we want to look at the soil carbon accumulation. And, of course, there's no stats been run on this, but it's more just for illustrative purposes. We picked out the highest poultry litter rate and the highest commercial end rate and then compared that to where we applied no fertilizer and then the initial soil carbon values. And, you know, it kind of follows a trend like you would expect, but I thought what was most interesting is even where, you know, where we didn't put out any fertilizer, we still got some carbon increase near that surface, which obviously is going to be a benefit. Just to conclude, I said the peanut residue didn't contribute any N to the subsequent rye crop. Rye responded to additional N as you'd expect. Typically a linear response. Probably could have put on higher rates than what we utilized. The 34 kilograms of N to the acre produced sufficient biomass to meet our minimum threshold. Seemed to be more beneficial in the fall. The poultry litter was comparable, but obviously with surface application, you can have problems with ammonia volatilization. And, you know, these results, they only represent one location over 2-3 year periods, but we do feel like that this can be, provide some general information about cover crops in the Southeast. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions. It was in early February. Yes, sir. No, the question was, did we look at a split application of our nitrogen? And we did not. We just split it fall versus spring. And that might be something beneficial, but on this one, when we had so many treatments to start with, we couldn't do another factor like that. Yes, sir.
Any estimate what percentage of the applied nitrogen wound up in the cover crop versus lost?
Well, the question was what percentage of nitrogen wound up in the cover crop versus what was lost. We do have the uptakes, so we can take a look at the uptake efficiencies, but I didn't present that. But now we didn't take any kind of measurements to take a look at loss or any kind of gaseous losses, but we do have the uptake. The seeding rate on the rye was around 90 pounds to the acre. It's a bushel and a half is what it works out. That's typical for us.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.